Grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Please be seated and for just a moment bow your heads to pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and we shall be created and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit instructs the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolations through Christ our Lord. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, first Sunday in Advent, very fascinating for us to shift gears in the liturgical year. All of a sudden, candles, all of a sudden decorations, all of a sudden expectation. In amongst the people in our culture, and I'm going back a few years, some of you may remember there was a bumper sticker around that says, in case of rapture, this car will be empty. Anybody see that? Or a similar one like that? Nobody? Oh, one or two did, okay. Well, I guess the people, when I saw that, the ones that were in front of me, wanted me to know that they're good with God, because they're going to get raptured. You, they don't know. They're ready to meet Jesus on his return trip to earth. And as we are at the end of the church year and at the beginning of the church year, we're right in that in-between kind of time, it's appropriate for us to wonder, what about this rapture business anyway? I guess, if you ask me, I would prefer this bumper sticker, the one that says, in response to the first one, when the rapture happens, this car will be unmanned. I like this bumper sticker. In case of rapture, can I have your car? Well, that one fits me better. Laughing in the face of that kind of a show of public piety, dismissing the fantasy that Christ will return. There are a lot of people in this world that don't like any public show of anything except themselves. And a lot of people in this world that will take umbrage, fancy offense, at things that some people hold dear to their heart, rather than recognizing a maybe potential brother or sister in Christ that we might have a conversation with and help come to a meeting ground of agreement on what Scripture actually says and means, we tend to react and push them away and wish for their stuff. That's the human nature. The truth is that neither the driver that was in front of me nor I myself have any control over what God is up to. We don't have any. So we try to claim control, try to hedge our bets, and each one of us likes to aim for an outcome that's going to benefit me. When the rapture comes, I don't care about my car. You can have my car. I am going to be fine. If you've ever had that sense of being better than another sinner on this earth, you know what I'm talking about. One person says, piously, I'm in. You. And the other one says, I don't care. You're just talking about stuff that isn't real anyway. And that's kind of like the little guy that's whistling in the dark. And there's more of those people in this world today than there ever have been. If you've read the popular reports on those that claim to have no church affiliation, called the nuns, not the N-U-N-S's, they're kind of shrinking in number, but they're sort of holding their own in different places. The nuns, N-O-N-E-S, are in the ascendancy. There's more of them now than there ever has been. Maybe there are more honest people who simply are saying, I don't know, so therefore I'm not going to go. Some of them simply say this, you know, if I can't control the outcome of stuff, I don't care. And there is that which we use as a mark of rebellion back in 1958. Who cares? That is very frequently the issue for most people. They don't believe there is anything after this life. So you've got to grab it with all the gusto you can get. And that, unfortunately, is the climate in which you and I are living. And the people that you and I relate to very frequently have those kinds of questions. What's it all about, Alfie? The famous movie, famous old song, I'm an old guy. But they don't know. And if they don't know, they say, well, I'm not going to commit to something I can't know about. The old concept, 1958 style, who cares? Who cares what you believe? And I think that the religious incursion of the people that are of a different background than we are, a lot, in various parts of Europe and other places, puts a lie to that notion, who cares? There are some people that still really care. But that's not the point. Whether you care or I care or they care, that's not the point at all. When it comes to knowing stuff, the only one that makes a difference is God, and God cares. But not the way that each of us think things should go. God cares that we look everywhere except to God for our salvation. Most of us look inside and say, well, it's my ideas, and I've got to live my way. That's where I'm trapped, and that's where you're trapped. And all of us, wise in our own conceits, find that those are not enough. God cares that, in effect, we've pushed him out of the driver's seat. So the car is already unmanned by the one that makes it all work. And that's not good. It's not good for anyone. It's not good for us. And it's not good for our neighbors. So Jesus warns us. He says, you better get ready, because God is in charge of that unexpected hour. God is in charge of the outcome. That's a frightening thought for each and every one of us that wants to do it my way. Say what you will about that wonderful song and that old entertainer, I did it my way. He didn't realize he was so very, very good at preaching the law. That's our problem. I did it my way. How does that work out for you and for me? God has a word or two about that, since he is the one in the driver's seat. And he simply says it this way. Not enough. Not good enough. He says it in loud and clear terms. He says it in exact terms. The soul that sins, it shall die. Modern science is looking at ways to extend human life beyond what antibiotics have done and about all other sorts of things to make our life longer. What are you going to do with it? Watch more TV? What are you going to do with it? Invest more? What are you going to do with it? Take care of yourself. That's what most of us wind up doing. Each one of us has a responsibility to take care of the I that God has made me. But what has he done it for? So that he could be forgotten? So that our neighbor could be ignored? No. He's done it so that you and I could be different. That we could be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. He's made us his very own dear children. When he marched into Jerusalem on the back of that donkey, it wasn't even ready yet because it had a tag-along colt behind it. It wasn't weaned. My goodness sakes, Was that a royal chariot entourage worthy of the Emperor of Rome? Was that a motorcade or an Air Force One process? Hardly. It was like being brought in very humbly, mounted on a donkey and a foal, the colt of an ass. The one who made everything, doing that, and yet somehow the people who had heard him, had seen what he was doing, knew that there was much more than meets the eye in this Jesus. What they didn't know was that they would all reject him very soon. What they didn't know was that God's way of doing things and planning things is not our way. What they didn't know was that no matter about the human rejection, the sin, the self-centeredness, God so loved the world that he would send his only begotten Son into the flesh to die for the sins of all mankind, not just those who believed in him, but those who condemned him, those who betrayed him, those who allowed his crucifixion, and those who crucify him little by little in every day of their life. Me, you too. The good news is that he does not hold our sins against us. What we celebrate in this Advent season is this wonderful time of preparation. During the last month of Mary's time of waiting, when all of those things began to occur that normally occur when a woman gets ready to give birth, imagine the thoughts in her mind. What's going to happen? Will he really stick with me, this Joseph guy? Will, where, what, and all those things. How? Comforted by one thing. Her words that she heard from the angel, blessed are you amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Comforted by the words that she heard, the Holy Spirit, the one from on high, will overshadow you. The power of the Almighty will be with you. And he who you shall bear will be the Savior of all mankind. I mean, they didn't even have iPhones then. None of that stuff. No TV, nothing. No electric lights, nothing. How could this be? And we look back and we say, oh, how primitive. I want to take that word with you. How primitive. Prime, first, before anything, is God. As I was telling the Bible class earlier today, what if we find worlds upon worlds unknown, aliens of all sort? How is this? And I said, there are three words I want you to remember. God did it. When we try to be good scientists and careful people, the best we can do is to think God's thoughts after him. Yes, we can imagine things that haven't yet occurred. We can make processes work and wonderful things ahead, I am sure. But they will occur within a culture of people that are very selfish by nature, sinful by nature. And the only thing that's going to change that is a long-term, inculcated, very deep and growing faith in the Savior, Jesus the Christ. For we know that the wages of sin is death. And try as we might, there's a death that's worse than physical death. Have you ever thought about the fact that maybe they will make us live forever? Will that conquer eternal damnation, eternal death, which is forever away from the Lord? Mm-mm-mm. You could live forever away from the Lord. You know what they call that? It's called hell. That's not an attractive idea. When a person comes to faith in Christ, it's a miracle, whether you're little tiny ones or whether you're really old ones or somewhere in between. It is a miracle. It is not of your doing. It is the work of the Holy Spirit who has called you by the gospel. And as Luther so well says it, he's enlightened you with his gifts. Even as he calls and he gathers and he enlightens and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, of which you are a part by his mercy and his grace. So what God says to the smug and self-satisfied individuals is very simple. He says, be ready. He says it to the boomers, and he says it to the boomers when they demur. Okay, God, thanks for the reminder. He keeps after it and after it and after it. Sometimes he uses you and me. And we always wonder if there's ever been any effect in that. When you give witness to someone that you have faith in Jesus, they might write you off. They might think you're not very sophisticated. Well, are you required to preach to them with a bumper sticker? Let it do it for you? You better not do that so boldly. You're going to be scrutinized pretty carefully. You have Christian faith? Then show it, says the world. Sometimes your Christian faith is going to cause you to be self-accused. It's not really self that's accusing you, it's the word of the Lord. I was telling the Bible class this morning, I found a little rosary ring for free. It's got 10 little beads on it and a cross. The cross has a, like ours, it says INRI on top, Jesus Nazarenus Rex Iudaeorum, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And it's got a picture engraved there of Jesus and 10 little balls. Now, my Roman Catholic friends would say that's the decades of the rosary. Each one of those is supposed to pray, Holy Mary, Mother, God, and Our Father, and so on, and go to the next one, and next one, next one, and 10 of them. I says, well, you know what the Lutherans do with that? There's 10 commandments, right? We go through each of those 10 commandments and recognize that we have broken them, every single one. But above all of that, each time, is the cross of Jesus who died for every one of the sins of every one of the people in the world. How come all don't rejoice? Not all know. And some, like Jesus said in the parable, fall on hard ground and they don't bear any fruit. We hope and pray during this Advent season, this penitential season of preparation for the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, that you are deep in the word of the Lord. Find the time in amongst all the multiple distractions of this day and age, to read his word, to meditate upon it, to confess, to hear the gospel, time of quiet, understanding the mercy of Jesus, and that you are nourished and fed by him so that you can walk in newness of life. That's what your baptism is about, and that's what the sacrament at the altar is about, that you're nourished and fed with the body of Christ, that you too, assured of the forgiveness of your sins, can walk forward in the newness of life, even in the midst of all of the seasonal changes that go on about us. There's a new bumper sticker I'd like to leave you with thinking about in closing. It says, in case of rapture, plant a tree. After all, being ready for God who comes in Christ doesn't involve us doing God's work, but our proper human work, living for the sake of God and for the sake of our neighbor. So, as Jesus encourages us, we feed the hungry, we clothe the naked, we tend to the wounded of the world, and we look up, knowing that the one who comes down is the one who took on flesh and did the same. And much more. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.